This poem is called Feeling Generous, and I guess it's another poem about relationships and the difficulties of men and women. More specifically, it's about that first marriage and first partner that so many of us have in our backgrounds. And that very, very strange thing in life where the person you were closest to and loved more than anybody else in the world is a stranger who doesn't want to hear from you, nor do you especially want to hear from them. It almost seems like an act of impossible amputation to have severed ties so effectively, but I guess this is what makes it possible to go on. So the poem is called Feeling Generous, and the speaker in the poem is appreciating the man that his ex-wife married after she divorced him, and summoning some feelings of generosity and appreciation for that person, for taking care of this other person whom one once loved. But what I like about the poem is it takes an odd turn, and it sort of swerves from a poem of appreciation to becoming a meditation about the insatiability of imagination. Feeling generous. Feeling generous one night, I begin to write a poem in praise of my ex-wife's second husband, acknowledging that he has been much better at staying around than I was, and offering some additional appreciation for how he has improved the house with that aluminum siding, and for how, in his custody, the ex has developed an impressive ability not to roll her eyes when one of their guests starts to talk about asset liquidity or the superiority of German beer. The choice she made to replace me with husband number two, I can see now that it has worked out well. Like trading a bicycle for an SUV or getting a warm blanket before winter arrives. The other good thing about Mark, or Bob, or whatever his name is that he's not restless at night, twisting and throwing off sparks of discontent, never turning life into a storm or a volcano. Still, I think of her sometimes, slipping out of bed at 2 a.m. to smoke a cigarette on the screened back porch, or maybe to sip rum and warm milk in the kitchen, where she stands by herself, watching the snow, and wondering why she has not been able to lock down contentment as part of her domestic repertoire, and why she persists in thinking of life as a predicament one must escape from, and about the way that imagination doesn't ever quite retire. It has a long shelf life, like a bottle of brandy hidden in the cabinet underneath the antique silverware, where it shimmers and simmers and glows.